Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to episode number 89 of the Beyond the Ring with Big T Wrestling Podcast for today, Saturday, January 27th, 2018. I'm your host, Big T, right here with you. And before I get into anything, guys, I'm sure you know where I'm going with this. And I'm just so excited to even bring this up, you know, to all of you. You know how we have the introduction from the man himself, Mr. EC3, Ethan Carter III. Well, I'm very proud to announce, as Mauro Ranallo said when they showed EC3 in the crowd tonight, new NXT signee, EC3. So now EC3 is going to be headed on over to NXT. And I can't think of anything better than on the NXT TakeOver Philadelphia review and results to EC3 introduce this show. And then, you know, we'll get the show on the road. But, guys, this is going to be amazing. What an exciting night of wrestling action that we did get to see. You know, of course, I'll break it on down for you, and I also have a very special guest here with us tonight. But first off, before we do anything, I want to start off. There he is. There's EC3, the card of the third. So let's turn it on over to the man himself, and I will be right back with you to tell you some business about the channel. And then get on to NXT TakeOver Philadelphia review and results. That's coming up next. Don't go away. And here is EC3, everybody. New NXT signee EC3. Enjoy.
Hello, this is EC3 of TNA Wrestling, and you are so very fortunate because you are watching Beyond the Ring with Big T.
All right, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. We just heard from the man himself, Mr. EC3, Ethan Carter III, new NXT signee. Man, EC3, best of luck to you, man. Congratulations and all your success. I could not be happier for you. All right, guys, moving on. Something that I'd like to talk about. There's Pretty, and Pretty, you know, she was my little girl, my little furry family member, and her life was taken due to a careless veterinarian's negligence. That veterinarian is Dr. Joseph Doles of the Pet Hospital of Willoughby in Lake County, Ohio. If you are in the Lake County, Ohio area, please don't go to the Pet Hospital of Willoughby and protect your furry little family members. Now, hashtag justice for Pretty is a really important hashtag. It's not just about standing behind Pretty. It is also about standing behind all pets and all of our furry friends around the world, because as you all know, pets, there's really no laws in place for pets, you know, like, say, you know, if they're treated wrongly at the vet, you know, you have the veterinary medical licensing boards that side with the vets, you know, and they don't side with the pets, and we need something put in place where pets have a voice, to where we can stand and talk for our furry family members, because they cannot talk for themselves. And that's what hashtag justice for Pretty is all about. So if you're a pet lover and you enjoy the show, please share the hashtag justice for Pretty. Get it trending all around the internet today. Please. Again, hashtag justice for Pretty. Thank you guys very much. All right. Oh, wait a minute. Did I have that on screen share for you guys? Let me see. I don't think I did. I gotta do a retake. I'm sorry. I'm sorry about that. Alright. I gotta do it again. As I was talking, I know for those of you that are listening on iTunes, you already heard it, but for people on YouTube that are watching live, that's what I'm talking about. That's Pretty in the picture. As you can see, and that's the hashtag that you need to utilize and hashtag justice for Pretty. It's really important. Like I said, if you are a pet lover, if you love pets, you support the show, please get this trending. Get on social media. Get it trending around. You know, share this video around. Just type in the hashtag anywhere you could. And just get this moving around. And it's not only to help Pretty, but it's to help pets around the world. Finally have a voice. And we can speak for them. Because they deserve it. You know what? Just because they have four legs and fur, they're exactly the same way we are. So, please, if you're a pet lover, hashtag justice for Pretty right now, guys. Thank you very much. Alright. Now, let me do a little bit of self-promotion for the channel. If you guys have missed any of my, you know, Raw reviews, SmackDown reviews, anything over the past couple weeks, for those of you that are watching on YouTube, all the links are down below for those to check out. If you guys missed my podcast from yesterday with former TNA Impact Wrestling star Jesse Neal, had a long interview, a lengthy interview with Mr. Jesse Neal yesterday. It was 3.5 hours long, where he went in depth about a lot of things. And you really know a lot about who Jesse Neal the man is. He really wanted time. He wanted to let everything out there, beginning to end, start to finish. And that he did. Episode number 88 of the Beyond the Ring with Big T Wrestling Podcast, the interview with Jesse Neal. It's linked down below, and I hope you guys on iTunes, you check that out as well. My God, incredible, incredible interview. Please, guys, check that out. All of my Wrestling World Stories episodes with Mr. Bill Otten is linked to. Go check those out. You know, so much things, so much content. And also my website, www.beyondtheringwithbigt.com. All my social media outlets. You could like me on Facebook at Beyond the Ring with Big T. You could follow me on Twitter at Beyond the Ring BT. And you can follow me on Instagram at Beyond the Ring with Big T. So, lots of great stuff. And of course, I am your host, Big T, here with all of you tonight. We got a very special guest here with me right here, right now. We got Sage with us tonight. How's it going, man?
Yo, yo, yo. What's going on, YouTube? And what's going on, my brother T? What's going on, my brother?
Hey, man, it's great to have you here.
Last month, if I'm not there for Mondays and Tuesdays, I'll try my best to be there at least for the pay-per-view events. And tonight just so happens to be NXT TakeOver Philadelphia. So you know I had to be here to do the show with you.
And, man, I got a couple of side note stories before we get into the review, because I got a couple things, you know, that I want to share that are very important to me and very near and dear to, you know, my heart, because I've been around. I go to many shows, and, you know, I've met a lot of great people along the way. And, first off, like I said in the beginning, I gotta congratulate Mr. EC3 for, getting signed to NXT. I remember his first go around as Derek Bateman in NXT. Now he's coming back. I really hope that, you know, that everything goes great for him. I wish him nothing but the utmost, success in the world. He's a really, really cool guy, really chill guy. I could not be happier. Could not be happier, you know, than to have him joining the NXT roster. I'm proud of him. I am, you know, just over the moon happy for EC3. And what I'm trying to show you guys here, if I can find it, hold on here. I'm trying to find actually a photo that I took with EC3. that I have on my Facebook page so that you guys can see. I'll use this one. This was actually after a match, but man, EC3, such a cool, chill dude, and got to hang out with him many times at AIW Absolute Intense Wrestling events. There he is with the TNA title. He actually put it on my shoulder. Fun times, you know, with Mr. EC3. And to see him now go from TNA World Champion, now moving on up to NXT, I could not be happier for him. So best of luck to you, my friend, and just go get him out there and win plenty of world titles. I know you'll make us proud. And not only was EC3 in attendance tonight, Johnny Wrestling, Mr. Johnny Gargano, I say about that man, he's truly one of the most humble guys that you can meet. There's a picture of me with Johnny at his last indie wrestling event at AIW, Absolute Intense Wrestling. I believe this was on September 23rd, 2016, right before Johnny was ready to go over to NXT. You know, just incredible, incredible night. And getting to, I met Johnny so many times over the years, you know, that we actually, whenever he'd be wrestling at AIW, we'd have talks and, you know, it was just so cool. But, Johnny, one of the coolest guys, and to see him shine in the main event spot tonight, you know, was just, I couldn't be more proud as a wrestling fan. I've never been so invested in a match that I was tonight, you know, just because Johnny was in it. And also getting to see his wife, Candice, you know, jumping the rail and getting into it with Zelina Vega. There's a picture of me with Johnny after his last indie match and his wife, Candice LeRae. And I would say over here, you could see people are already taking the set down and everything after the event. We talked for about a good half an hour, you know, talking about memories past from when Johnny first started in the indies in Cleveland to, you know, his last night. And I followed his career every step of the way. And I'll never forget when he had I gotta get the DVD to the show because it'll probably be on the DVD. Like after he wins his match, you know, he gets out of the ring, he circles the ring, he's giving high fives to fans, and he gives me a big hug and he just tells me, you know, thank you for following me all these years. He's like, I hope that you will continue to follow my career, you know, as I'm moving on. And told him, of course, man, I'll always be watching. I'll always be supporting you. You're truly one of the best. And I told him, I have no doubt in my mind that you're going to go far because you truly are pound for pound one of the greatest wrestlers in the world. Like I would legit put Johnny Gargano in the top 10 wrestlers in the world today on a top 10 list because he really is that good. He's truly, truly a stand-up class act besides a great wrestler. He really is one of the most genuine human beings, and he really cares about his fans and just getting to meet him and talk with him and, you know, just talking with him many times over the years and to see how much he's achieved and to where he's at tonight. I could not be happier for him. So, Johnny, if you're watching this, of course, I'm still supporting you, man, and it's just, it's awesome watching you on your journey, and I wish you the best of luck, and I hope you capture that NXT World title, and hey, if not that, go for the big one, go for the Universal or the WWE World title, why not? I know you can do it, man. You got, I would say, the biggest heart in the business right now in WWE. I think you can take them all on. Go take on the world, Johnny. Johnny Wrestling lives forever. Johnny Gargano, truly one of the best and a class act in professional wrestling. And his wife, Candice LeRae, the same. She's absolutely awesome. Mr. and Mrs. Johnny Wrestling. Wrestling, professional wrestling excellence. Yeah, instead of hitting the screen share button, I accidentally kicked myself out of here. Cause when I tapped that, I guess it might have interacted with something, but I knew how to get myself back in quickly. At least I knew how to do that. But anyway, that was just a few things that I wanted to share. And I hope you guys enjoyed that, you know, with me telling my, my little stories from being out, you know, traveling around, seeing shows, fun stuff. Let me get Sage back in here. I'm sure he'll come in rather quickly. There he is.
Yo.
Yeah, you know, when I went to close out all my open files with the pictures, I guess something happened where it accidentally kicked me out of the thing.
Yeah, I figured it was something like that. Fucking hang-ups.
I had a lot of stuff. Yeah, you know, it always has something. It's just hangout errors, but I was just telling everybody I hope that they enjoyed the stories, and I hope you did too, man. It was just giving everybody a little glimpse here, you know, into what kind of human being Johnny is and his wife as well. Candace, she's awesome.
I mean, it just goes to show that you're not a bandwagon fan. You've been on the Johnny train for a while. So.
I was on the Johnny train, yeah, from day one, man. Back when, you know, you would hear, oh, he's too small, you know, he can't, how's this kid gonna hang? And then when I just seen him rise through the ranks, in the indies, man, I was so happy every time I'd go and see Johnny, and whenever I'd meet him, I even tell him, no, you got this. I always told him, eventually you're gonna be there at the top. You're gonna be at the top of WWE. And he's like, man, I got a long way to go. Cause you know, this was even like 4 or 5 years ago.
Yeah.
When I was having these talks with him, I told him, man, you keep doing the work that you're doing, and you put in the time that you're putting in, and you show the heart that you are showing. I'm like, you're gonna go. You're gonna make it there.
Listen, man.
Sure enough, he did.
Listen, as much as people criticize Hunter and talk shit about him, the man knows talent when he sees it. The man knows how to treat people in NXT. That's why, when people talk about NXT, they don't even mention WWE. It's like as if it's a separate organization, like it's totally different. Because technically it is. And I even tweeted earlier, I'm like, yo, like NXT does so much fan service. And I did a comparison, which to me makes so much sense. I don't know if it makes sense to other people, but it's like when you watch a Marvel movie and you see how like at the end of a Marvel movie, they leave you with that little bit of cliffhanger or whatever, like after the credits, like everybody stays there after the credits because they know there's going to be that little cliffhanger. And then you stay there and you watch it and they either introduce a new character or a new storyline or whatever the case may be. And then when you watch a following a Marvel movie, which, you know, they don't make them all the time, so it could be a year or 2 years from now. And then you watch that second part or third part, and then they tie the loose ends of what you saw in that cliffhanger into that previous movie. It's like, oh my God, like, you know, or like, when you watch a Marvel movie and then they have these little Easter eggs or whatever, you know, that comic fans, they know, you know, the casual fans like you and I, we probably don't know, but fans who go and purchase the comic books every week when they drop, these motherfuckers know. And they know what the numbers mean and what the symbols mean. And you know what I mean? And NXT does that for us wrestling fans. You know? what has become one of NXT's calling cards is when they pan to see who's in their audience. And a lot of times there's celebrities. A lot of times there's rappers or singers or actors. But what everybody looks forward to is to see what wrestler is in the crowd. And tonight we had four. We fucking had the tag team of Raymond Rowe, Hanson, War Machine, the fucking Vikings were in the fucking.
They're Ohio boys too. They used to.
They used to wrestle in AIW. Yeah, they're from your side of town.
EC3, another Ohio boy. That's three.
We had your boy EC3, Ethan Carter III, former TNA Impact heavyweight champion of the world, possibly one of the biggest wrestlers not signed to WWE, is now officially part of NXT. And not to mention, he also does the intro to the show, which is also a big plus. And of course, last but not least, like, this is the guy who, this was my favorite independent wrestler. Like, this guy got me to start watching indie wrestling, particularly PWG, particularly Lucha Underground, and any indie show that he does. And of course, I'm talking about Trevor Mann, aka Ricochet. Oh my God, bro. Four fucking awesome guys officially signed to NXT, and I couldn't be happier.
Amazing.
I couldn't be happier. I cannot be happier. Hunter knows what he's doing. Hunter knows how to give us fans fan service. He knows what we want. He knows who he wants to see. He knows how to make us happy. And that goes from the promos, that goes from the entrances, that goes from the storylines, which in professional wrestling, storytelling is a very important thing and theme inside the ring as well as outside the ring. And of course, the in-ring work itself. And my God, I'm just, listen, there has not been a bad takeover show since the inception back in 2014 or 2012 or whatever. But I think they started the takeovers in 2014, right?
Yep. When the WWE Network launched, the first one was TakeOver Arrival.
NXT Arrival, exactly. That's how you know that's how old school it is. Because it was NXT Arrival, not NXT TakeOver. They started doing the TakeOver a couple of months after that.
Yep, that's right.
Yeah, yeah. But anyways, let's get into it, man.
Yeah, first off, let me read the live chat messages real quick. They're all from Lisa. She's in here checking us out. Of course, regarding the hashtag Justice for Pretty stuff, she says, the Pet Hospital Willoughby in Lake County, Ohio must be shut down. Pretty's life was taken due to unethical Joseph Dulce DVM. This vet should be put in jail. I will be the voice of Gorgeous Pretty forever. I want to face this joker in court. Hashtag justice for Pretty. Thank you very much, Lisa, on that. And regarding the wrestlers that, from the stories I was telling in the beginning of the show, she says, EC3 joining NXT, awesome. You've met so many wrestlers. That's nice. You have a beautiful photo gallery with pro wrestlers that I need. You can check that out on my website, www.beyondtheringwithbigt.com. And regarding the Jesse Neal interview, she says, your interview yesterday with Jesse Neal was super. Jesse speaks straightforward with no bullshit. I love the interview. So, if any of you guys, right there, if any of you guys have not heard the Jesse Neal podcast, I know 3.5 hours, you're going to be looking at it like, oh my God, 3.5 hours. Listen to me, guys. If you got to split it up, maybe listen an hour each day, split it up into three parts, something like that. Do whatever you can to try to listen to this podcast, because it is really good, and it really, it's very in depth, and you know, in depth takes a lot of time, but Jesse, he pulled no punches. So, I don't know if you're familiar with Jesse Neal, Sage. I don't know, cause I know he was an Impact. I don't know if you're very familiar with, TNA Impact at all, but.
Was he part of management?
He actually was in a tag team with Shannon Moore.
Okay, I remember called, Shannon Moore.
They were called Ink Ink. Hmm. They were a couple of tattoo guys, you know,
No, Shannon Moore, I definitely remember.
Yeah, if you do a Google search on like Ink Ink, or if you just Google search, Jesse Neal, you'll probably see him with like Shannon Moore and stuff. And, he's actually, really good, man. He was trained at the Dudley Boys Academy. He talks all about, you know, how the Dudley Boys are and their hands-on training out there. Really, really good stuff.
Okay. Yeah, I just Googled him. Yeah, he looks very familiar.
Yeah, he was around basically when TNA had their best days. Their best days, you know, when they were going farther, when they had a great roster, when they had good storylines, and he was around at the best times of the company. Mm. But, cool. Yeah, I hope everybody goes and checks that out. But yeah, man, we can, definitely get underway if,
I got it pulled up already, so.
Oh, you do? Sweet.
Yeah. So,
alright, I'm gonna get into this on my cell phone, and then I will be, right back on with you in just a minute.
So I pulled up the results from CBS Sports. And they don't mention the pre-show stuff. They just mention like the main card stuff.
So the pre-show stuff basically what happened was the NXT year-end awards. Like Asuka won Female of the Year and she won overall, Performer of the Year, you know, for men and women, and for just the male performer, Aleister Black won Wrestler of the Year. Was basically stuff like that, the year-end awards, and then the video packages for all the big matches.
It's kind of asinine, being as how this year just started. They should have done that at the end of 2017.
Yeah, I don't get it. That's what I don't get. Why didn't they do that at TakeOver War Games, like at the end of the year? I don't know either, man. It did throw me for a loop. I'm like, wait a minute, we're already in 2018 and you're doing 2017 year-end awards, but I'm like, alright.
But, so I got these results from CBS Sports. I'm just gonna go right into it. Our opening match, we had, the Undisputed Era, Bobby Fish and Kyle O'Reilly, defending their NXT Tag Team Championships against the Authors of Pain, Razor Akam. I'll just run down the little notes that they have here, and then you and I can give our thoughts on it. But basically it says, midway through the match, Razor hit a tremendous combination follow-away slam and a Samoan drop on the Undisputed Era, but was unable to get a fall. AOP then looked poised to end the Undisputed Era with the Last Chapter, only for Kyle O'Reilly to grab hold of the top turnbuckle, reversing Akam into a Hurricane Rana and rolling him up for the 1-2-3 to surprisingly retain the title. The match as a whole was solid, but it was short and ultimately an easy out for the Undisputed Era, which should not have been able to take down a team as dominant as AOP that easily. What are your thoughts on this match? Todd.
Yep. I just got on here.
Okay. So what are your thoughts on this tag team match?
I thought, I really thought that the tag team match was pretty decent. I originally thought going into this that something with the Undisputed Era, like there was going to be some kind of fuck finish or they were going to get disqualified, because I didn't see Undisputed Era losing the NXT championships. I really didn't see them losing those tag titles because I'll tell you what's going to happen. War Machine's going to come up. They're going to feud with AOP. Then AOP's going to the main roster after that.
Makes sense.
That's what I see. That's what I see. I don't know if that's what's going to happen, but if I had to be play fantasy booker here, that's what I would see. So I'm like, with that looming and War Machine coming in, I don't think that Authors of Pain are going to get the titles. I'm like, they're going to build this on the Undisputed Era. I wouldn't even be surprised if they have the Undisputed Era hold the tag titles and Adam Cole eventually win the NXT title and they're all champions at one time. But
I think that was the original plan, but the fact that McIntyre got injured, they sort of, you know, damn, McIntyre was injured. I believe they knew about the injury prior to him getting injured in that match, and they called an audible and threw the title on Amos. That's what I believe to be true. As much as they say, oh, he got injured during the match, these motherfuckers know, bro. They know, because they have doctors who check up on you, not just when you're fucking injured in the match. No, they check on you all the fucking time. And exactly. A lot of time, wrestlers wrestle injured. And McIntyre comes across as a guy who he's going to finish the match no matter how injured he is. And that's exactly what he did. So I believe that they called an audible. They threw the title on Almas. But the goal was for Adam Cole to be McIntyre and all three of them to hold gold. And honestly, we haven't seen that yet in NXT. And I think that's what should happen.
Yeah, we haven't seen like that real dominant faction just take over NXT. It just hasn't been there. They got a shot though to make it happen.
Yeah, damn right they got a shot and they need to take it. But in terms of the match, well, what did you think about this? Were you expecting more? Do you think it sort of fell short of expectations? Do you think it was good? It was a solid opener? What do you think?
I thought for an opener it was rather solid. I really did. You know, I've definitely seen, you know, worse openings, you know, with less excitement. I think it was actually a good opener. I'm not going to say it was over the moon great, but it was good. And honestly, in the grand scheme of things, people might be saying that, you know, Bobby O'Reilly, not Bobby O'Reilly, Kyle O'Reilly and Bobby Fish. A lot of people probably say, oh, they had no business winning clean. But you know what? Now they look more credible. You know, now when they go in facing these tag teams, you actually have a thought in your mind that these guys can do it without weapons. They could just be heels that actually fucking win and stand alongside Adam Cole. So I actually like the decision in the end. I think it makes it better for them.
Well, all night I was giving shout outs to Marv Ronaldo on commentary tonight on Twitter. And, you know, one of the things that I heard him say during commentary during this match, you know, he said, don't be fooled by the size, by the disadvantage that Kyle O'Reilly and Bobby Fish have with AOP, because AOP, obviously, they're towering over these guys. But he said, don't be fooled. These guys are fucking trained mixed martial artists. These guys are trained in, especially Kyle O'Reilly. And it showed. It showed. And the strikes, the kicks that he was throwing. The dude knows what he's doing, and the dude is legit, you know. And I remember seeing him in ROH, and I'm like, not so much Bobby Fish, but definitely Kyle O'Reilly. I'm like, yo, this dude is good. And when he had that match, I believe it was Wrestle Kingdom 11 last year against Adam Cole, when Adam Cole was ROH champ.
Oh, yeah, that's when it was.
That match was so slept on. People slept on that match. Like, they, whatever. Dude, that match was fucking amazing. And for it to be, like, almost like Kyle O'Reilly's, like, goodbye match from New Japan, it was a great match. Great way to go on.
Oh,
yeah, man. Undisputed Era retained.
Did you get to see this match?
The only other match that I saw was this and the main event. I didn't get to see the in-between matches. So I'm basically going to give you the floor to talk about all of these.
I got you.
Like, because again, I got home really late today. Because after work, I had to do some errands and I did some shopping. So by the time I got home, it was like 9:30. So I had already missed like at least a whole hour and a half of the show.
I got you.
So everything else that I saw was just little clips that people post on Twitter or whatever. So, but anyways, moving on. Undisputed Era retains against AOP in a pretty decent opener. The following match, second match of the night, we had Velveteen Dream, Patrick Clark, taking on Cat, aka Chris Hero. Please, speak on his match, bro, because I did not see this.
Well, I gotta tell you, you know what, Cassius Ohno and Velveteen Dream, I said to myself, starting off, I'm like, Velveteen Dream is gonna win. I'm like, this guy's gonna get pushed. He's gonna continue to get pushed. And sure enough, he did. And you know what? They had a good match back and forth. It was actually, pretty hard hitting. You know, more hard hitting than I thought. Actually, they had Velveteen Dream kick out of what is Cassius Ohno's finishing move called? That rolling elbow or whatever? Yeah, they actually had Velveteen Dream kick out of that move.
They're building this kid strong, man.
Oh, they're really building him up, man. They are building him up big. He is gonna look like gold. Eventually, I'm telling you.
What was the finish of the match?
The finish of the match is that they had, Velveteen climb up on the top rope, which this was fucking amazing, dude. They had Velveteen climb up to the top rope. They had him stand. When he was on the top rope, then he takes two steps back. He's standing on the ring post. And then he jumps and does his purple rainmaker elbow drop with fucking Cassius Ohno a little more than halfway across the ring. Unbelievable.
Just crazy the pure athleticism.
Oh, the pure athleticism of this kid. Amazing. I'm telling you, he could go with anybody on that roster. And you know what? In fact, he could be NXT World Champion today if he wanted to be.
Now, that was going to be my next question. Not so much as NXT Champion, but I was just about to ask, do you think that NXT should bring a mid-card title? Because every time I see these takeovers, there's always, I guess what you would call their mid-card, but I don't know, I don't really feel that NXT has any mid-cards, because all of these guys are fucking amazing. But guys like Velveteen, guys like Oney Lorcan, guys like Cassius Ohno, guys like Lars Sullivan or whatever, you know, guys like that, like, do you think there needs to be an NXT mid-card title? And if so, what would you call it?
Without a doubt, man. Without a doubt, there needs to be a mid-card title. Especially now with all these new signees coming in. You know, are you really going to have them go around not holding gold with all this great talent around? There needs to be a mid-card title. And what I would do, you know, NXT is all about the next generation in the business. That's what they prided themselves on. You know, being the next generation, you know, building the next generation for the WWE. So why not make the NXT next gen title? Next generation, next gen.
Makes sense to me.
And I think that would be perfect for a mid-card, because you know what that next gen title can do? Someone that wins it, that could put them up in line to become a future number one contender for the world title. It's like the next gen will be that first stepping stone, and then
once they get through that title, then they'll move on to the world title, and then they'll head up to the main roster.
Listen, my brother, I'm 100% in agreement with you, because back in the day, back in the 90s, and I'm talking about, you know, 94, 95, you know, back when Shawn Michaels, when he broke up with Marty Jannetty, super kicked his ass through the fucking barbershop window. He immediately went and captured the IC championship. Immediately. And I feel that everybody should have to go through that. Not just remain in the mid-card, but use that as a stepping stone to move up to the world championship, because nobody wants to stay in the mid-card forever. Everybody's ultimate goal is to be the champion of whatever brand you're on, of whatever show you're on, in any promotion that you're in. Nobody wants to stay in the mid-card. And I feel like on the main roster, if you catch that mid-card title, you're almost going to just stay a mid-carder for life. Like, don't get me wrong. I love The Miz is doing the work of his career right now. But he's only been a one-time WWE champion, and that was a flop. So they just decided to keep him in the mid-card of the IC title. And again, kudos to him, because he's making that title relevant. Especially with the fact that Lesnar is gone fucking half of the fucking time, half of the year anyway. So he's legit making that belt mean something and elevating it. But hopefully they go back to their roots and use that as a stepping stone in order to be the world champ. And again, as I said, I couldn't agree with you more. NXT most definitely needs a mid-card title, and they need to follow the roots of used to be and use whatever mid-card title they create, use that as a stepping stone, because whoever holds that title should be in line to be world champ. And another side note before we move on, but that's one thing that I really like about Lucha Underground. They have that I forgot what's the name of that championship.
Another idea I was going to throw out about the Next Gen Championship before you move on about the Lucha point is, what if NXT would do something like, all right, you got a guy that has the Next Gen Championship. And then say they're elevating through the ranks. You know, you see them growing. You see them getting better. What if, you know, once they earned it, once they went through the ranks, say they can, you know, defend their next gen title against the next up and coming challenger. And say if they win, then they have an option where you can hand over the Next Gen Championship to compete for the NXT championship. You know, like cash it in for a title shot.
Well, that's what I'm saying. That's what Lucha Underground does. And that's something that I absolutely love that they do. They have, what the fuck is the name of that other title? Oh, the Gift of the Gods Championship. So I don't know if you watch Lucha Underground, but Lucha Underground, they have their Lucha Underground Championship. They have the Lucha Underground Trios Championships. And then they have the Lucha Underground Gift of the Gods Championship. So basically, Gift of the Gods is like a fatal seven way or whatever. Every man for themselves. And they each fight for a medallion. When the seven competitors have a medallion, then they all get into a match themselves, a seven-way between them all. Whoever wins gets the Gift of the Gods Championship, and that is sort of like their mid-card title, but they're allowed to cash that in for a chance at the Lucha Underground Championship. So it's sort of like the Money in the Bank and the IC Championship roll into one. And I absolutely love that idea, and I think NXT needs to take some cues from that and do their own version of it, do their own thing.
Yeah, you know what? That would be great. And then, you know what? It would make NXT fresh, even fresher than it already is.
Absolutely. So do you want to move on to the women's match?
Let's do it, man.
So we had Ember Moon defending her NXT Women's Championship against one of the four horsewomen of MMA, Shayna Baszler. Please fill me in on this match because I missed it. How was this match?
I gotta tell you, for a women's match, I know you don't hear me praise what the women do on the main roster, you know, all too much. But what these two women did on NXT tonight, Baszler and Moon, I'll tell you, I just earned a whole new respect for Ember Moon. My God. They had her going at it with Shayna Baszler. It was early on in the match, I'd say within maybe the first 5 minutes or so. They had Baszler, I don't know if you're familiar, Sage, with what happened, but they had, remember when they had, what's her name, Dakota Kai?
Mm, yeah.
I think her name is. They had Baszler mm-hmm. stomp on her elbow and, you know, her arm got hurt and she was screaming and Baszler basically took her out. They had Baszler do that same move, hold up the elbow, you know, on the mat with her foot and then stomp on the elbow, which it looked like Moon's arm, you know, just snapped. It was a beautiful sell job by Ember Moon and she was screaming and the whole point on this match was that her arm was hurt and Ember Moon looked like she was going to win. Okay. She hit the eclipse and when she hit the eclipse, she, you know, even hurt her arm even worse. She was rolling around the ring, you know, screaming in pain, grabbing at her arm. The doctors actually came down to her. You know, they're taking a look at her arm. She's saying no, she wants to continue. And Shayna Baszler, next thing you know, she puts Ember Moon in this arm bar. And keep in mind, she had Ember Moon, the bad arm, locked in this arm bar. It had to be for about a good 2 to 3 minutes. You know, everybody thought that Ember Moon was going to tap. There was no way. And she kept trying to roll through. She kept trying to get her feet on the ropes. And then at one point in the match, the finish was Ember Moon was able to roll through and roll up Shayna Baszler and pin her 1, 2, 3. The pinning Baszler with her own hold. And Ember Moon retained the title. After that, Baszler attacked Ember Moon and put her like in that rear naked choke and choked her out and her arm was just like behind her back, lifeless. Like she couldn't use it at all. But, man, I gotta tell you, Ember Moon, with as badly banged up as her arm was, and for her to still persevere and win, and the way she sold this injury, and how she made this look like the most legit thing, I gotta commend her for that. I really do. She did a great job. I think tonight was some of Ember Moon's best work, because I really didn't think she was going to retain, but my God, she did. Incredible, incredible matchup. I thought Baszler was winning. Even in my predictions, I picked Baszler, but Moon proven she is the real deal in the NXT Women's Division, without a doubt. Absolutely fantastic.
Fair enough. As for Baszler, though, how was her takeover debut?
I think her takeover debut was good. I mean, you know, considering in the Mae Young Classic, we were still able to see, you know, that she was a little bit green, you know, that she wasn't all the way there. I mean, she might still have those spots to her, but from what I noticed to where she was at the Mae Young Classic to where she is now, she has improved. She looks like she's ready. She looks like she does belong at the upper echelons of the women's division. And I love how she comes across as a very cold, calculated, heartless heel. And it fits her so perfectly. It really does. She knows how to play a cold, calculated, just heartless, remorseless heel. And I love it. So Shayna Baszler, I think she did a great job for her TakeOver debut.
Fair enough. Want to move on?
Sure.
Next, we had Aleister Black taking on Adam Cole in an Extreme Rules match. Please, give me your thoughts on this match. I heard on Twitter, I heard mixed feelings about this match. Some people enjoyed it. Some people were disappointed by it. And I want to hear your take on it.
I was one that actually enjoyed the match. I thought it was a good match. I mean, they went out there. They did extreme spots. You know, it actually lived up to the name Extreme Rules for once, you know. It's not like how they just throw Extreme Rules on it and don't do anything with it. These guys actually did something with it. Spot in the match when Aleister Black was he was, you know, getting on the top rope, and there were two tables set up on the floor on the outside of the ring. Adam Cole gets up, has the wherewithal to hit Black with a kendo stick right in the ribs. You know, Aleister Black, he just let go of the top turnbuckle, and it looked like he was just free falling through two tables. It was a great spot. I was like, damn, he really did a great job falling on that one and taking that bump. And, you know, just the things they did throughout, you know, like the spot when Aleister Black did the double knees on Adam Cole, you know, right through the table. I thought that was a phenomenal spot. And Aleister Black, you know, countering Adam Cole's Death Valley driver into one of his own, you know, dropping Adam Cole on a chair just like Adam Cole did to him. You know, just, it was really, I thought it was brutal. I mean, you could judge it for yourself when you see it, but for me, I don't know really what was missing from, you know, pretty much trashing the match, because I didn't think it was that bad. I mean, it was a worthy co-main event. I will say that. It was not a main event match for a takeover, but it was definitely a worthy co-main event. I've seen co-main events on takeovers, you know, some of them that were not as good as this one. This was a worthy co-main event, and I think those guys killed it out there. They did great. I picked Adam Cole because I thought they were going to boost Adam Cole and have him go on to challenge for the title. They didn't do that. They had Aleister Black win. So now I'm thinking, what, are you going to lower Adam Cole down the ladder and have Aleister Black go for a title first? I don't get it, you know, because it's like I just really thought that they were going to push Adam Cole and finally have Aleister Black get his first loss in singles competition. But, man, they didn't do it. Aleister Black remains victorious.
Now, why do you think they keep having Adam Cole lose?
Man.
Up to maybe sabotage Black's match whenever he has his NXT TakeOver. Whenever he has his NXT Championship match, maybe WrestleMania weekend?
Yeah, I mean, something has got to happen, you know. See, this is what I saw happening. I saw Adam Cole winning it on WrestleMania weekend, and I figured he was going to hold it through TakeOver Brooklyn, and then at TakeOver Brooklyn, you know, Drew McIntyre would re-debut and do the same thing that Adam Cole did to him a year ago and actually beat the crap out of him and hold the title up. Like, you know, he gets his revenge, and then they start their rivalry finally with the title on the line, but I don't know if they're going to do that.
I don't know. See, going into this match, I thought neither one of these guys And I saw some sort of dusty finish, a fuck finish. I saw maybe interference from Fish and O'Reilly, or hell, maybe even a new member of the era, of the Undisputed Era. None of that, that was the case. This was a clean victory for Black, right?
Yep.
So, I honestly don't really see how they're gonna, you know, continue forward with having, Cole suffer another loss. I have a feeling maybe his credibility is gonna take a hit. And I fear that people are just gonna start seeing him as a catchphrase, wrestler. And that's about it, you know. Adam Cole, baby. But when it comes time to actually win a match, he always blows it. So I don't know. I don't see what the end game is for Cole. I don't know if they have a title shot in mind for him or a title win for him. Because at this rate, Black is as hot as he's ever been.
Oh, you kidding me, man? Aleister Black is just getting hotter and hotter as he goes along.
It really is. So I honestly don't see what the hell is going to happen.
I'm conflicted myself. But we'll see, man.
Well, I'm bullshitting. There was an interference by Fish and O'Reilly, but Sanity came out and sort of neutralized them.
Yeah, which Sanity is actually going to, I think they're going to be challenging Undisputed Era next for the tag titles. I think they're setting that up for TakeOver on New Orleans. I could be wrong, but that's what I see in my crystal ball.
Do you think AOP and Sanity are both going to go up to the main roster?
It very well could be possible. Maybe
one will go to Raw and one will go to SmackDown.
That's what I see happening. They're going to split them up. I can see AOP going to Raw and Sanity going to SmackDown.
Yeah. I could see Bludgeon Brothers versus Sanity.
Oh, that would be good.
I could most definitely see that. Definitely. Usos versus Sanity. New Day versus Sanity. Rusev Day versus Sanity.
Be all good matchups.
Benjables versus Sanity.
Yep.
But anyways, so yeah, we definitely had Adam Cole taking a big L to Aleister Black.
Yeah, which was a little surprising to me, at least. I thought they were going to push Adam Cole, but like I said, I guess they're just not ready yet.
Well, moving on. We have our main event of the evening. We had Andrade Cien Almas defending his NXT championship against your boy, Johnny Wrestling, Johnny Gargano. And this is a match that a lot of people are already calling match of the year. And I just find the wrestling world so insane. The fact that we're only a month into the new year and we already have at least 3 or 4 match of the year contenders, and not just from NXT or WWE, but just from wrestling in general. Yeah. We already got like 4 or 5 of them already.
Yep.
And this is definitely one that a lot of people are saying, dude, this match phenomenal. This is a 5-star match, an instant classic. Man, what are your thoughts on this match?
Did you, you got to watch this one, right?
Yes, I did.
I thought the match was, it was a phenomenal matchup. I do gotta say, I think this will be on WWE's top 10 list for their matches of the year. I think this might make my top 10 list. Depending on what we see, I'm not gonna jump the gun yet, but this may very well be on my top 10 list for matches of the year in 2018 when we get to the end of the year. This match was really a testament of how far we've come. You know, look at Andrade Cien Almas, what he was in NXT, you know, losing matches, and then Zelina Vega got him focused and to where he is now, being the champion, and it's just, it's pretty remarkable. And Johnny Gargano, like I said, man, I don't know if you realize this, but I've been saying this for years. I was saying it when Daniel Bryan first went out with his injury. I'm like, if you want to make the next Daniel Bryan in the WWE, it's going to be Johnny Gargano. Johnny Gargano is that man. Because he has this natural aura about him that fans just love him. You know, because he's like the underdog guy. And that's how he was in the Indies as well.
Well, I mean, yes, I 100% agree with you, but there was another guy who filled that role when he was in NXT, and they decided to turn him heel now on the main roster, but I thought that the guy to take over Danny Bryan was Sami Zayn.
Yeah, I thought so too.
I thought it was Sami Zayn, and you know, of course he comes to the main roster and they drop the fucking ball on him, and I just see wasted opportunity there, because his current storyline with AJ and with KO, like, we all know where this is going to lead to. This is going to lead to another KO versus Sami Zayn match, most likely at Mania, and I'm sorry, but I see bigger things for both guys. And I heard talks that they don't split them up by Mania. They were going to insert them into the SmackDown tag division and maybe have them have a title run. So that there's also that, but I saw Sami Zayn as the next Danny Bryan. As that underdog, as, you know, anti-authority and defying the odds. But
you know when I saw that with Sammy? I saw that with Sammy when he first came up on the main roster. When he first came up, I'm like, this is the guy they can push.
Of course.
For God's sakes, his nickname was the underdog from the underground. It would have been perfect, but they dropped the ball. They had him lose matches as a babyface. Then they have him turn heel with KO. And like you said, it's probably going to lead to a match between them two. And then where's Sammy going to go after that? We don't know.
You know, I just can't help but to think as to why they didn't give Sammy that push like Danny Bryan. And when I start looking at him and digging into his background, I'm like, oh, no wonder he's not the guy, or he's not the next Danny Bryan. Number one, he's Canadian. So he's not American. So, you know, Vince, oh, you're not American. Well, yeah, no, you can't be our top guy. That's number one.
Yeah.
Number two, he's on the smaller side. Even though he's a pretty fit dude, he's on the smaller side. Vince likes his fucking Braun Strowman. That's what he likes. Number three, he's fucking ginger. And for whatever reason, Vince hates gingers. And number four, you know, and I don't want to talk about religion or whatever, or bring any of that into it, but this is something that I think is hindering him from being that guy, but it's the fact that he, you know, he's Muslim. And Vince is like the total opposite of that. So those are some of the reasons why I think Sammy didn't get, you know, that push, you know. This man has not held gold since coming up to the main roster. And that's absolutely, like, absolutely just disheartening. You know what I mean?
Yep, and that's exactly where I'm scared for Johnny, to be honest with you. Like, Johnny's in the position he's in because Hunter knows how to use him. Triple H knows how to use Johnny. I guarantee you Triple H has probably watched Johnny's work in the indies, and he probably got familiar with his character and, you know, sees that, oh, you know, this guy's an underdog. He's beloved by the fans. You know, he's really loved. We could take this and we could run with this, but gets in the hands of Vince McMahon himself, is Vince going to push him? That's the thing. That's what I'm worried about. But I mean, Vince, if he had any brains and he was watching tonight, I mean, see it already. Johnny Gargano going against authority. I could see him in that WrestleMania crowd, even though he's a very small guy. He might, I don't know if he's smaller than Brian or about the same size as Brian. I really don't know.
I think he's about the same.
Even though he's a small guy, talent, man. I hope they don't drop the ball with him like they did with Sammy, because they can really market so much from him. I mean, Johnny Wrestling and Johnny Wrestling merchandise and him just being this lovable baby face.
I saw somebody on Twitter, right? Johnny Sports Entertainment. Yeah. Yeah, so, but yeah, anyways, aside from all of that, what are your thoughts on this match?
I thought the match was phenomenal, really. You know, I thought it was going to be like what we saw with them the first two times, you know? Like, I think they fought one at, I forgot if it was TakeOver Brooklyn 3 or at War Games, one of those they wrestled at. And they had a good match. I figured they were going to have a good, decent match, and, you know, that would be it. But they turned out having a classic, and they both surprised me. I loved one of my favorite parts of the match. Like, really, this showed the heart of both men. Like, one had Almas in the Gargano Escape, his finishing move, the submission hold, just for Almas to have the heart and will to battle out of it like he did. And Gargano, you know, kicking out of Almas' finishing move, you know, the DDT.
Yep.
What kind of DDT he does. I can't remember what they call it in full, but that DDT and, you know.
Hammerlock DDT.
Yep, Hammerlock DDT. And when Gargano kicked out, the look on Almas' face, just the disbelief. I'm like, man, he looks like he kind of wants to cry. Like, he was just so shocked. And
there was a sequence. I forget exactly how it goes. But I know that they were in the corner and they were fighting, and fucking Almas dropped fucking Gargano. He ran, hit the corner, and then he ran back, hit the fucking double knees, came back, hit him with another fucking move. Like, just, it was like within a span of like a minute and 30 seconds, and I was like at the edge of my seat. I'm like, holy fucking shit. And I legit thought Almas had it right there. Within that 1 minute and 30 second sequence, it was towards the end of the match.
Yep.
Oh my freaking
God. I don't know how Johnny survived it. Another thing I love about Gargano is, I don't know if you know this, but I love the way he sells. Like, whenever he gets a bump to his head or gets a big bump, like, he just has this faraway look in his eyes. Like, his eyes are almost dead. Just the way he sells.
There was a sequence when Johnny was on the apron and he was trying to do his diving through the ropes and hitting his spear, and fucking almost caught him, dropped his face on his knee, and then he came down with like a fucking, I don't even know what you'd call that maneuver, but it was like, he did like a clothesline while he's like hanging off of the ropes. He like dropped his fucking arm over his back and shit, dropped him onto his knee. I was like, holy fuck, he's killing Gargano, bro.
Oh, he was.
It was so good. So good.
I like the way they did it, though. I like the way that they mapped it out with almost being dominant for a better part of the match, because it really got to display that you can fucking toss Johnny around and hit him with your best shots and he'll keep coming at you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, mm-hmm. I just loved how they showcased that. And that's how Johnny was in the Indies, man. You could hit him with your best shot. You could hit him with everything you have. And he'll get up and he'll keep fighting. Whether he wins or loses, he's going to be up in your face. And he's going to keep fighting. And I just loved when Zelina Vega, near the end of the match, you know, she was coming around the ring to attack Johnny. And then you got Mrs. Johnny wrestling Candice LeRae, jumping the fucking rail and spearing her and then throwing her into the security wall. Then they run through and they're fighting through the crowd. I'm like, oh shit. Like, a tag team match between Almas and Vega against Gargano and LeRae somewhere down the line. I could see that coming. I don't know when, but I can see it coming. But I mean, you know, in the end, you know, Almas hitting another hammerlock, DDT, Gargano, you know, finally getting pinned. I know a lot of people, you know, in this area of Cleveland, you know, they're really upset. You know, a lot of people, you know, from what I've seen are saying, this is the biggest, you know, fuck up in NXT history. Go that far? I mean, I understand it's heat of the moment. Now, this is what I would say could turn out to be the biggest NXT screw up in history if something happens, okay? Like if through his rivalry with Ciampa and they don't shot or they don't put him back in that situation, seeing how much he got over tonight, how much he's beloved, and how much the fans legit want to see this guy, then I think they would have supremely fucked up. But if they're doing this just so Gargano could feud with Ciampa, and you know, there could be other rivalries in the mix, and then eventually, you know, once his feud with Ciampa's done, and then they start bringing Johnny back around in the mix and he eventually wins, I'd be okay with that. But where I think, I don't know, you know, I could be a little biased here and say where they did screw up is, you know, it's like the first time is always the most special. Like, this was the most organic. This would have been the time to get Johnny over in the biggest way. And, you know, his family was there. Everybody was there. Even the crowd was into it. I mean, when you see the crowd this hot for a superstar, how do you pass on giving him the title? That's one thing I didn't understand. But that could be
counter that and say, because they saw a bigger picture, and obviously that picture was to have the rivalry that we never really got. We only got a glimpse of it in the Cruiserweight Classic, which was back in 2016. Waited for this all 2017. But because Ciampa was out with injury, we never got to tie that loose end. And the creative geniuses over there had the foresight to see, no, we got to make this count. And, yeah, we're not going to put the strap on Gargano, but we're going to make this match count because it's going to be worth it in the end. And that came in the form of Ciampa attacking Gargano in his weakest moment after he just lost the biggest match of his NXT career while he's standing on stage with his wife, Candice LeRae, newly signed NXT signee, them on stage, giving thanks to all the fans who came out to see him, paid their money to see him in this championship match. And that was the perfect moment for Ciampa to strike. And yeah, again, I understand your feelings. You wanted to see him win, as well as everybody in that arena did. Everybody in Philadelphia wanted him to win, but they were saving it. They were saving it because this is a grudge match. This isn't going to be a wrestling match. This is going to be a fight. And, man, I'm looking forward to it. I am so looking forward to it.
Now, were you split on this match? Like when you were watching it, cause I know you really love Amos too. Were you pretty much split on this or where did you stand?
Honestly, I was one of those guys that when Amos first came out, I saw the talent. I knew his history, of being down in CMLL in Mexico and starting Los Ingobernables and Naito joining over there. And of course, you could tell this guy has talent. The only thing that was stopping him is the same thing that was stopping Nakamura, and that's essentially the language barrier. And obviously the fact that they had him in the wrong role. They had him as a babyface. Nobody wanted to cheer this guy. This guy looks like a fucking movie star. Fucking abs on top of abs. This guy is not your typical babyface look. No. This guy looks like he'll steal your fucking girl and your sister at the same time. Like, you know what I mean? He has that cocky pretty boy, I'm better than you attitude. Nobody wanted to cheer that, so we started booing him. Eventually, NXT or WWE or Triple H or the creative geniuses over there, they saw that and they were like, no, we're going to turn this guy heel. Of course, they turned him heel. But to add another layer to his character, they brought in Zelina Vega. And now she's his valet. And on top of being his valet, she's also his mouthpiece. And puts this guy over as a fucking megastar. This was the missing link that this man needed. And it led him to NXT Gold. And he got it. And this man went from being... this man had Jason Jordan heat down in NXT. Like, if you go back and you watch, I forgot what takeover it was, but it was a takeover where he faced Bobby fucking Roode.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And Almas was the face, and Roode was the heel, and the fucking fans were singing Roode's theme song and cheering Roode the entire time, and were booing Almas the fuck out of the building. Now tables have turned. They put him in the right role. They gave him the right character. They gave him the perfect mouthpiece and valet. And now this man won gold with me. And he's getting over as fuck. He's getting over as fuck. And on top of all of that, we all know how WWE loves having their luchadors and their Mexican wrestlers. And I'm sorry, but Kalisto wasn't cutting it, which is why they sent his ass to 205. Fucking Gran Metalik. I even forgot he was signed to fucking WWE. And Sin Cara, who the fuck has seen Sin Cara? So, they don't have really any credible luchadors, but they're making Almas into that guy. He's filling the role that fucking Del Rio left behind, that Kalisto couldn't fill, that Gran Metalik and Sin Cara couldn't fill. And this man is making up for it. And he's essentially carrying the whole brand on his back. He became a credible heel. And that's the most important, because for you to have a great babyface, you need to have a great heel. And vice versa. Which is why Johnny Gargano was the perfect opponent for this man. And look at the fucking match that they put on. And, of course, the takeover crowds are always quote-unquote smart marks or whatever. So we all know they're always going to cheer the heel and boo the face. But tonight it wasn't the case, because they did their jobs being a heel and getting heat. And Zelina Vega was that perfect heel, interfering when it was necessary, you know, grabbing him the leg or grabbing the arm of Almas to pull him to the ropes. And the great thing is that they had a foil for Zelina Vega in the form of Candice LeRae. When Candice LeRae jumped the fucking barricade and started fucking wailing on fucking Zelina Vega, my God, the fans absolutely lost their shit. It was fucking great. It was great. It was professional wrestling 101.
Yep. This was true babyface versus heel.
Exactly. At its finest. And I'm sorry, I keep fucking going back to Twitter, but man, I tweeted. I'm like, dude, NXT knows how to book babyface. Because one of the main issues on the main roster, that on the main roster, they don't know how to book babyfaces. They have lost the art of booking a babyface. Because all the heels get cheered. All the heels are getting cheered. And that's the cool thing to do. And the heels have cooler, fleshed out characters, yes. But in professional wrestling world, we're supposed to boo these guys. So.
That's true.
But anyways, man, again, I was not disappointed with this match. This match delivered on all aspects. And this match is going to be definitely at least in the top five contention for matches of the year. 2018. Mark my word.
Now, here's an interesting thing. Where does Almas go next?
Black. Almas is going to fade to black. And that's my prediction.
You think they're going to give Aleister Black the title, or do you think they're going to have Almas go on with it?
That all depends. Because easily I could see Black taking on Almas and still lose because interference by Adam Cole in the Undisputed Era.
Yeah.
I could see that happening.
See, that's the thing. Where do they want to go? Because this is very, you know, it's very, like where you don't really know what's coming. Like, if they have Aleister Black win, do you reignite the feud with Adam Cole and put them in a title feud and have Adam Cole win and then have McIntyre come back and then have Cole and McIntyre feud over the title? Or if Almas gets past Black, I don't know what will be next for Almas after that. I mean, do you put him back with Johnny when his rivalry with Ciampa's done? See, that's the whole thing. I don't know what they can do here.
Well, number one, the fact that we don't know what's coming, that it's difficult to predict, that's a good thing.
Yeah.
Because one thing about today's day and age in wrestling is that it's so easily predictable. When something like this happens, that it's unpredictable, that you don't know which way to go, who's gonna do what, that's a good thing. It's good that we can't predict. It's good that we're playing the guessing game because it means that they're doing their jobs over there. They're having us play the guessing game. Guess which way we're going to go. They have multiple directions that they can go. And honestly, none of them are bad. None of them are bad.
Yeah.
Regardless of how you feel about all these guys, either way that they go is great. It's great because it's stuff that we want to see and stuff that we're interested in seeing. You know, unlike on the main roster when they've been fucking, how do I word this correctly? They've been hot-shotting Reigns versus Lesnar for the Universal Championship since last year's WrestleMania. So, you understand?
Since before WrestleMania, bro. Since before. Remember, it was before the Royal Rumble of last year when the report originally came out that Reigns and Lesnar's gonna be the match for WrestleMania 34. We didn't even get to the fucking Royal Rumble last year yet.
And you know what? Kudos to Vince, because he has not budged. That was his mission since that long ago, and he's been sticking with it. So kudos to Vince. But also, bad on Vince.
Yeah.
Bad on Vince, man. Because it's so predictable. Not only is it a person that we don't like, that nobody fucking gives a shit about, but honestly, I've already grown used to the fact that, hey, this is the guy that they're picking. The handpicked guy. Whatever. We're not gonna change it. You know. Well, we might not. But if these steroid allegations, whatever the fuck is going on, that might play a factor as to, whether he gets a strap or not. But that's neither here nor there. That's a whole another topic. But, kudos to Vince for sticking with his plan, but also bad on Vince, because nobody wants to see that. Nobody cares about that. Nobody's paying thousands of dollars. Nobody's flying from other countries and other cities and other states and spending thousands of dollars on tickets and hotel rooms and food and flights. Nobody's paying all that money to see fucking Lesnar versus Reigns again with the predictable victory. Nobody's going there for that. People are going because it's WrestleMania weekend and it's Wrestle fucking Mania, and there's going to be a whole bunch of wrestling themed events prior to WrestleMania and other indie promotions that people want to go to and see. And then of course, you know, they want to do the Hall of Fame and they want to do, you know, a takeover and X, Y, and Z. So it's not because of Reigns versus Lesnar. It's about the event as a whole that people are going to fly over there and go and spend all that money. That's the reality of it. So they need to let go of this whole Reigns experiment, but they're not. So,
and at this point, I'm actually a little bit happy that I'm only going to WrestleMania and coming home and decided to go to the Chris Jericho Cruise, because at this point, WrestleMania 34 is looking worse than last year. I mean, really, bro, what are we going to have on this card, especially if the rumors are true that Vince is not going to go with Nakamura and Styles? If Vince doesn't go with that match, what in the fuck are we going to see? And if Taker and Cena don't face, what are we going to get? Cena and Styles again with Cena winning title 17 and then Reigns and Lesnar? It's like that's all we're going to have? And yeah, Triple H versus Strowman?
Yeah, I heard rumors that Cena might win it. And, it's either going to be Cena winning it or Reigns is going to be winning it.
This is actually a good point to segue into. I did my Royal Rumble predictions last night.
Okay.
And I know the whole card in my head. So I can give you the match cards and I'd like you to pick winners and losers and, do your quick predictions here. And then we can go into ratings and stuff. But curious to see where you stand and, you know, your reasonings for, you know, who's going to win and whatnot. There's two tag team title matches. And there's two, you know, world title matches. And there's two Royal Rumbles. So I know the whole card. The first match would be the Balls SmackDown Live Tag Team Championship matchup with Jimmy and Jey Uso, the champions, defending their titles against Shelton Benjamin and Chad Gable, the challengers.
Is that on the pre-show or the main card?
As far as I know, these six matches are on the main card. I haven't seen any pre-show matches announced yet. They're probably just going to put some pre-show stuff together last minute and just throw them out there from what I see.
Okay.
Unless they switch maybe a tag title match to the pre-show, I don't know. But as of right now, these are all on the main card, so I could only go by what I'm hearing. But, yeah, the first match is the SmackDown tag title match with Jimmy and Jey, the SmackDown Tag Champs defending against the challengers, Benjamin and Gable, in 2 out of 3 falls matchup. What do you think of all this?
I got Jimmy and Jay, man. I got the Usos. Usos are having the renaissance of their career between late 2016 till now. They've been having that renaissance in their career. They're way more intense. Their characters are more true to life. They're more to who they actually are as individuals. Gable and Benjamin, they're a great team, but I don't see them picking up a victory here. Like, honestly, to me, this is like a filler feud. This is a filler feud until these guys come and take the straps from them. Bludgeon Brothers, Harper and Rowan. They've been booking Harper and Rowan very strong, and at this point, Jimmy and Jay are so good that they're being cheered. They're not being booed anymore, so they aren't really heels anymore. You know, and if you go back to Raw 25, these Usos were fucking chilling and laughing it up with APA and with the New Day and stuff. Like, these aren't heels. These are baby faces. Benjamins, oh, yeah. They're sort of tweeners. They do heel tactics, but they're not full fledged heels. And honestly, come on, who the fuck is gonna fucking boo Chad Gable? You know, he's a fucking small guy. He's fucking like a collegiate wrestler. Like, and he's teaming with Shelton fucking Benjamin. Like, this dude was part of Team Angle. Who's really gonna boo them? You understand? So, but yeah, that being said, I'm going with the Usos. I don't think Benjamins are gonna win it. Matter of fact, I actually think the wrong team is facing the Usos, where it should have been fucking English and Rusev.
Yeah.
Because people want fucking Rusev Day, dude. And I'm right now, bold prediction. Right now, I'm gonna make it right now, bro. The way that fans wanted Daniel Bryan to win the 2015 Royal Rumble is going to be exactly the same way as tomorrow night. Fans are going to want Rusev to win that bitch. As soon as Rusev comes out and he gets eliminated, forget about it. Whoever wins it is going to get the Roman Reigns treatment, 2015 Royal Rumble treatment. They're gonna get it because people are gonna want fucking Rusev, bro. I'm telling you right now. Mark my words. Tomorrow night, fans are gonna go apeshit for Rusev to win. And Rusev, I'm predicting you have 2 or 3 eliminations. People are gonna be on their feet. People are gonna want it. They're gonna be thirsting for it. And probably somebody like Strowman or Lesnar a legend is gonna come out and toss him out and is gonna fucking kill the whole fucking match. I'm telling you right now, that's what's gonna happen, my brother.
I agree. Rusev is still over right now and they're just not giving him a shot. It's so fucked up.
You know why?
Cause he didn't get over organically and WWE's fucking pissed off like immature children.
That's one. Because he's getting over organically, yes, that's one reason. And number two, I just mentioned it with Sami Zayn.
He's not who they want.
He's not American.
Yep.
He's not American. So. Vince is hardcore patriotic. So, I'm telling you.
And here Vince is Irish, you know?
I mean, he's of Irish descent, but you know, he's raised here, so he's more American. But anyways, that's neither here nor there because he makes fun of Irish people too. Look what the fuck he had Sheamus. He fucking named him Sheamus O'Shelley or whatever when Sheamus first started.
Oh yeah, Sheamus O'Malley or some shit.
O'Malley, yeah. But anyways, moving on. What's the next match?
Next match is for the Raw Tag Team Championships. We got Jason Jordan and Seth Rollins, the Raw Tag Team Champions, taking on Sheamus and Cesaro, the Bar. Who do you got?
Yeah, Sheamus and Cesaro is going to take it because I see Rollins and Jordan getting into it. They're going to have some sort of miscommunication. Maybe Jordan will walk out on Rollins. Maybe Rollins will inadvertently hit Jordan or vice versa. That'll cause dissension between the two. And, yeah, the fact that Reigns is busy with Miz and the Miz-Raj, and the fact that Ambrose is out with injury, this whole Shield reunion was an absolute fucking failure. And I see the Bar winning it. But my only concern is it's not for Rollins, it's not for Jordan. It's for Sheamus. Like, what's up with this guy? I'm gonna go off topic for a second, but this is something that upsets me. They won't clear Daniel Bryan to wrestle.
Yep.
They've denied him. Cool. Supposedly Paige has been retired. Even though there's been no mention of it, these are just reports. They haven't came out themselves and said, oh yeah, well, Paige is injured, she's retired. Cause I follow Paige on Instagram and she didn't mention a word on her retirement or a word on her injury. She's been quiet and we've been seeing her every single week since the reports coming out on TV. She hasn't been wrestling, but she's been in her in-ring gear and been on TV and all smiles and like nothing's happened. Okay. And Sheamus got diagnosed with this. This is something that's known. Everybody knows it. But yet this man is still in-ring wrestling.
Yeah.
So is there favoritism here? Is there... Okay, yeah, we'll do it for Sheamus. Because he's been with us for so long and he's a loyal WWE guy and he's part of our, he's one of us, and he's a Triple H guy, and he has the look that we like, and he's big, and blah, 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 blah. So we'll let him rock, we'll let him do his thing. But then, Daniel Bryan, who's the people's champ, the real people's champ, the guy who we want to win, the guy who we want to see succeed, the guy who we want to get cleared to come back into the ring and to be the rightful champion of the fucking, not just the Raw brand, but of the entire company. That's who we want, right? Since Punk ain't there no more. Daniel Bryan was our saving grace. They won't clear him. They yep. keep him quiet. They keep him tight-lipped on Paige, but then they're letting Sheamus wrestle? I don't know. I smell bullshit in the air when it comes to Sheamus. You know what I'm saying? And I don't like that. And I don't know how nobody else, not Solomonser, not JD, not any of these other major guys, nobody has really addressed the fact that, oh yeah, Sheamus, he gets the pass. But Danny Bryan and Paige, nah, they don't get the pass.
And I actually mentioned this on one of my, I forgot if it was a Raw review, on one of my episodes I did mention this. I'm like, so you clear Kurt Angle to wrestle, you still clear Sheamus to wrestle, and you're not clearing Paige, and you're not clearing Daniel Bryan. It's, something's fucked up here.
But at least with Paige, I can sort of rationalize the fact that, you know, the whole thing with Del Rio and she sort of, you know, was acting a fool and doing drugs.
Yes,
and doing standing, this and that.
Standing by his side while he ripped apart Triple H, calling him a big nose pussy on Periscope, and Paige is standing there smiling about it. It's like,
so I see Paige, this as sort of like, this is sort of like a punishment for her. Like, okay. Yeah. Yeah, you wanted to do that? You wanted to do that? Okay, yeah, now you're on timeout.
Now,
that's the way that I see it.
I'll say this about Paige, and I don't mean to sound like a dick, but I'm going to be straight up honest here. With Paige, it's basically like you reap what you sow. You know, she was reckless with her own career. She didn't really care about it. She got herself, you know, suspended twice intentionally because she was trying to get herself fired from WWE because, you know, she wanted to be with Del Rio. She was reckless with her own career. So, you know, now she made her bed. She has to lay it. But Daniel Bryan, he didn't do anything except want to wrestle.
That's true. But anyways, that's just my little conspiracy theories because, you know, I don't consider myself a conspiracy theorist. I consider myself a conspiracy realist because there is a conspiracy going on. And as well as the wrestling world as well.
Oh yeah.
But I'll keep it at that. Let's move on to the next match.
All right. Next match on the Rumble card, we have AJ Styles.
Isn't it Bobby Roode?
No Bobby Roode match.
It's an open challenge. It got announced. It's an open challenge match.
Also, that must have got announced today because yesterday when I did my predictions, that wasn't announced.
Yeah. It's an open challenge match. Now, remember when I told you this last year? I told you, I was like, ever since Cena did the fucking open challenge, I said, listen, this needs to be a common staple with the U.S. championship. If you hold that belt, if you hold that championship, it must, with the stipulation that every week you gotta do an open challenge.
Yep.
Now, they haven't done it exactly the way Cena did. But when Styles held it, he was doing open challenges. Right?
Oh, yeah.
He had a couple weeks where he was doing open challenges. And now that it's on the hands of Roode, who's a babyface now on the main roster, now he's going to have an open challenge match. My question is, who do you think is going to answer it? I think it's going to be Jinder Mahal.
That's my feeling. I think I have two men that I think is going to answer it. It's either going to be Jinder Mahal to get a rematch, or it's going to be Baron Corbin to get his rematch that he never got.
What's been going on with Corbin? Isn't he injured or something? Because I haven't heard anything about him being on SmackDown.
He's in the Royal Rumble match.
Yeah, but he hasn't like been on TV for weeks, right? Or like for a month or so.
Yeah, they've been keeping him off. I don't know what's going on.
I think maybe he was probably injured and they didn't want to put him on TV or whatever.
But with Corbin being in the Royal Rumble match, I could agree with you. I think it'll be Jinder, but I think Roode is going to retain.
Most likely he's going to retain. Even though Roode should have never won that belt in the first place.
Yeah.
Jinder, listen, I agree with JD, man. Jinder, the whole 6 or 7 or 8 months that he held the WWE championship, that should have been the U.S. championship the entire time.
Yep, it should have never been the WWE championship. Never.
Yeah. But anyways, next match.
2-on-1 handicap match for the WWE championship. AJ Styles going up against, defending his title against Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn.
Bold prediction here. Obviously, there's going to be dissension amongst Zayn and Owens. I think they're both going to be going for the pin. The cliche, AJ's down in the middle of the ring. Sammy will go for the pin. KO will pull him off. They'll start arguing. And Sammy will go for the pin, or KO will go for the pin. Sammy will pull him off, arguing some more. Then they'll you know, start arguing, then maybe Danny Bryan or Shane to come out and turn the match into a triple threat match. And regardless, I see AJ retaining, but I do see there's going to be some dissension amongst Styles. Amongst Zayn and Owens.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because I really don't see them. I see them facing each other one-on-one at Mania. In a grudge match, I don't see them going into the tag division, because SmackDown's tag division is pretty stacked. It's pretty fucking stacked.
Oh, it is. It's definitely looking good.
It's pretty stacked, so it's like you don't need another team, especially not another team with who are, I mean, yes, they work really well together as a team because they're legit best friends in real life, but they're better off as rivals for life. That is their roles. They are meant to be forever. They're meant to be enemies forever.
Yep.
And that's the way that I'm always gonna see Zayn and Owens. I'm not gonna see them as BFFs or whatever. Yeah, BFFs outside of the ring, but inside the ring, they're gonna be mortal enemies. And, they both want to be number one, especially Owens. I see, he doesn't look happy in the role that he's in. Did you see his 365 on the network?
Yep. Oh yeah.
Did you see how he was when he won the U.S. Championship? He didn't even want to fucking talk.
Yep. Oh yeah.
He didn't even want to talk. He was like, no, like, I'm done. I'm done with that shit. Like, you know he wants to be the top guy. Obviously, they all do. They all want to be the top guy. But I guess Owens tasting that Universal Championship back on Raw, it left them with that hunger to want to reach the top of the mountain once again. And I don't see him happy in his role. I know Zayn isn't happy in his role because, yeah, he's getting exposure. Yeah, he's getting TV time. But again, as I mentioned, he's yet to win any gold. So.
Yeah, he's never won any gold as of yet.
No. But
that's
regardless, I see dissension between Zayn Owens, one of the commissioners or the managers coming out to make it a triple threat, or maybe a no DQ or whatever. And I see Styles coming out on top. Simple as that.
Yeah. All right. I just lit up my last cigarette and then I'm going to head upstairs and we can close out. But until then, we got three more matches. Triple threat match for the WWE Universal Championship. Brock Lesnar, the Universal Champion, defending his title against Kane and Braun Strowman in a triple threat match. Who do you have and why?
I mean, do we even really have to guess? I think this is a no-brainer. But knowing WWE, they do like to swerve us. But I think the swerve is going to come in the form of not in this match. I see Lesnar retaining. Pinning Kane. Strowman is too hot of a commodity right now to take pins. Being built up like a legitimate monster. And he's sort of a tweener, but I think now he's crossed over into the babyface role.
He doesn't get
booed anymore.
No.
He beats people up and the fans are fucking loving every minute of it.
And remember, I told you this and I told all the fans this. When I went to Raw in Cleveland on December 11th and I saw that alert pop up on my WWE app when I was sitting in the crowd, that they were going to have Kane and Strowman in a number one contenders match. Winder goes on to face Lesnar. I'm like, nobody's going to win. They're going to make it a triple threat match, and then they're going to go into this triple threat match, and Kane's going to be the fall guy. Sure enough, nobody won. They booked a triple threat, and Kane's going to be the fall guy. Well, seen this coming for fucking 7 weeks.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. Lesnar is going to retain. It's going to be Lesnar. Now, I don't know who's going to win the Rumble itself, but there's at least three names that I have floating around my head in terms of the men's Rumble. Cena, Reigns, Nakamura. It all boils down to who needs it, who's the most obvious choice, and who's going to make history.
Yep. And before we get into the men's Rumble, before you give your final prediction on that, who do you see winning the first ever 30-woman Royal Rumble matchup? And I was so happy yesterday when they announced that Stephanie McMahon was going to be on commentary so I could look at her fine, sexy self and listen to her sexy voice during this match. I was happy.
I'm going to watch this on mute. I'm going to mute that match just so I don't have to hear her screeching over my headphones or my speaker. I'm going to mute it. Honestly, so far we only have about 15 to 16 names that's been announced for the Women's Rumble, which means there's at least 13 slots open for legends and returns and debuts. The most obvious choice would either be Nia Jax or Asuka. That's pretty much what everybody's going with. That's pretty much what a lot of people have. But
I have Asuka.
The other elephant in the room is Ronda Rousey. Now, unlike everybody else, I don't see Ronda Rousey winning it. I do see her eliminating a lot of the women.
She claimed, just so you know, I don't know if you heard about this. She
I saw it.
That she'll be away filming a movie. But then again, you don't know if she's trying to troll, you know, everybody. If she's really hopping on a plane to go to Philly. That's what we don't know.
Listen, man. Chris Jericho trolls us all the fucking time, so. So,
yeah,
you gotta take everything they say, not with a pinch of salt, with the whole fucking salt container. Like, don't fucking believe these people. These people are professional liars. They're trying to keep kayfabe alive in the 21st century. So, but I see Ronda being in it. I see her eliminating a lot of women. I don't see her winning because what I see. What I see is she's going to come face to face with Charlotte. And she'll most likely be outnumbered because it'll be Charlotte, Sasha, Bailey, Becky. And she'll be outnumbered. But then probably Shayna Baszler is going to come out. And they'll even the odds with her. And then they'll have the other two, I forget their name. They'll probably be right there in the crowd, in the audience. They'll probably hop the barricade and jump in the ring like, what's up? And it'll be four horsewomen versus four horsewomen.
Ah, that would be a great way to build that.
That's my prediction for that. Rousey's not going to win it, but it's going to kick the 4-on-4 in motion for Mania. That's what I see happening. But as far as who's gonna win it, again, Nia Jax, Asuka. I don't think they're gonna do Naomi again, because Naomi won it last year. I mean, well, not the Rumble, but she won her Mania match last year. So I don't think they're gonna have her, be there. Alexa's definitely not gonna win it.
Yeah, because she's champ.
Mm-hmm. So, honestly.
Actually, Charlotte's probably not even going to be in the Women's Rumble, bro, because she's SmackDown champ.
Yeah, but she'll most likely be out there at ringside or whatever, having a close look at the match. And, you know.
Oh, okay. Then when Becky, Sasha, Bayley, when they're all in there, say if Ronda comes out, then everything's going to break down. Yeah.
Yes, 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 yes. That's what I see.
If you had to pick one woman, who do you think is going to walk out with that victory?
I mean, honestly, see, if I go with Asuka, then I can't go with Shinsuke.
Yeah, yeah.
Because, see, if Asuka wins, Asuka will be making history in three different occasions. Not only will she be the first ever winner of the Women's Royal Rumble, she'll be the first ever Japanese woman to win the Royal Rumble, and she'll be the first ever Japanese woman to win the Royal Rumble who has been undefeated in singles competition.
Yeah.
So that's three fucking accolades right there for that woman. And again, like I said, if I pick Asuka, then I can't say Shinsuke, because I highly doubt they're going to give it to two non-American wrestlers to win, you know, possibly their biggest match of the year. So, but realistically, that's why I see. Because I see Asuka taking advantage of the fact that, that WWE's Four Horsewoman is going to be facing MMA's Four Horsewoman. She'll take advantage of that.
Yeah.
You know. And also, I do see Paige being a surprise entry. Just throwing that out there, too.
That would be interesting if she really was.
I see her being a surprise entry. I think all of this, oh, she's injured, oh, I think it's all bullshit. I think it's trying to throw us off. I think Paige is good. They're all just taking cues from Chris Jericho and learning how to work the crowd, learning how to keep kayfabe alive in the 21st century. That's what I believe it is.
Hey, you gotta learn from the best, right?
Listen, man. Again, I was never a Chris Jericho fan back in his WCW days or his first WWE run. And I fucking hated him when he became the Undisputed Champ. I hated him. But there's no doubt about it, man. Chris Jericho is most definitely one of the GOATs, man. Because he knows how to work the 21st century crowd. He knows what we want to see. He knows how to work American crowd. He knows how to work UK crowds. He knows how to work Japanese crowds. And he knows how to troll, and he's keeping kayfabe alive.
That's just like at the first ever Roadblock Network special pay-per-view in Canada. And I forgot who they had Jericho face. Damn it, I can't remember, but I just remember that was when Bret Hart first got diagnosed with prostate cancer. Canada. And Jericho, after the match, it was either before or after the match, someone was holding up a sign that said, "Get well soon, Bret." And Jericho took the fucking sign out of the fan's hand and ripped it up in two.
Who was he feuding with at that time? It wasn't Ambrose.
He was feuding with Styles at the time, but I know he didn't face Styles at Roadblock. I can't remember who they put him against. But it's like, it just showed, like, even in Canada, like, he just went against the grain and he was like the ultimate heel. And what we got left is, so you're thinking either Asuka or Nia. You can't really pick one or the other.
I mean, okay. I feel like they dropped the ball with Nia, with making her feel as a credible contender for the women's championship, because remember when she was being all BFFs with Alexa, and then they had that angle where she had her up on her shoulders and then she looked straight into the camera and then she fucking dropped Alexa.
Yeah.
And then like 2 weeks later they're friends again. Like, what? You just fucking dropped this woman. You were supposed to be BFFs and you fucking turned your back on her and dropped this. Then all of a sudden, you're friends again 2 weeks later? Like, do you really think we have ADD?
They think we got something.
Yeah, so I feel like there's been a lot of opportunities where they went and they dropped the ball with her. And obviously, she doesn't have the look that they want, you know, which is unfortunate because in today's day and age, it shouldn't be about how you fucking look. It should be about how you work. But, fortunately, that's not the case with WWE.
Yeah.
So, honestly, it just leaves me with Asuka. Asuka's undefeated. Asuka was the longest reigning, you know, NXT women's champion. She fucking retired the belt. She never got beaten. She still hasn't gotten really beaten on the main roster. So at the end of the day, like, who else is there if not Asuka? Unless, and I don't see them giving it to a legend like fucking Kelly Kelly or fucking Trish Stratus or Lita. I don't see that happening at all.
No, me neither.
So, if anything, they'll come out and they'll only last a couple minutes or whatever, 10 minutes tops, and then they're out. So they're not going to give it to Mickey.
Oh, no way. Oh. And then finally, we got the men's Royal Rumble match to close out on.
Again, there's only three guys that I see winning. You know, and as I said, it boils down to what we want, to what management and Vince wants, and to making history. And obviously choices there are Nakamura, Reigns, or Cena. The reason I say Cena, because if he wins one more Royal Rumble, he'll be tied with Stone Cold as winning the most Royal Rumbles out of everybody, which is three. He's also tied with Ric Flair with being a 16-time champ. So if he wins the Rumble, he's guaranteed a title match at Mania. And if they want to solidify him as the GOAT, the greatest superstar of all time, they'll give it to him and then they'll give him the belt at Mania. And he'll beat Ric Flair's record of 16 and he'll be the first ever 17-time world champ.
I can see it happening. So you got Cena for years.
No, I didn't say that. I said I have three. I'm just giving my reasons as to why Cena's one of the choices. Nakamura again, as I mentioned earlier with the whole Asuka thing, first ever Japanese-born superstar to win the Royal Rumble. That's never happened before, right? Hello? Yo.
Yep, I'm here.
But, right? That's never happened before. There's never been a Japanese-born superstar to win the Royal Rumble, right?
No, there never has been. Nakamura, he would be the first.
So, that's making history right there. Another reason is that's who the fan wants. That's what we want to win. Because we want to see Styles versus Nakamura at WrestleMania for the WWE World Heavyweight Championship. We've been talking about this all year. We've been talking about this since fucking Wrestle Kingdom, what was it? 10 or 11.
Yep.
When they had their fight. We've been waiting for this to happen at WrestleMania, at the grandest stage of them all. They teased us with it at last year's TLC. And the way that those fans reacted when those two grabbed the fucking ladder and put that shit aside, like, nah, let's get this shit out the way. Cause we know what y'all want to see. And they gave us that little teaser. Listen, man, every male in that motherfucking audience had a fucking boner. I don't want to fucking hear it. I don't want to hear it. Every male in there had a boner because I had a fucking boner at home. So I know everybody wants to see that match. I know everybody wants to see it. Now, is it going to happen? I highly doubt it because I don't think Vince is high on Styles or Nakamura. And then that leaves us choice number three, which is who management wants. And as we mentioned earlier, they've been building to this shit since before fucking WrestleMania 33. And, man, as I said earlier, Rusev, when he gets eliminated, it don't matter who the fuck wins, it's legit gonna be anybody but Roman. Listen, that's the best catch. That's the best catchphrase that Bray Wyatt ever had. Anyone but you, Roman. Because it's the most truest statement ever.
Oh yeah, man.
Nobody wants Roman to win. Nobody wants him to main event his fourth WrestleMania in a row.
Fourth in a row. I can't believe that shit.
So, anyway.
But
those are my three picks. Who do I want to win? As I said, if it's not Rusev, then it got to be Nakamura. And I highly doubt that it's going to be Rusev. So my heart says Nakamura, but my mind is telling me it's either going to be Cena or Reigns.
Yeah, it's like, you know, with me, I came down to the same three guys that you did. You know, I picked the Usos to retain. I pick Jason Jordan and Rollins to retain. Surprisingly, I did pick AJ to retain. I picked Lesnar to retain. I picked Asuka to win. And then this match, I picked the same three guys that you picked. And then when I narrowed it down, I eliminated the Nakamura situation because I'm like, after all the rumors I heard and Vince not wanting it, I'm like, so they're probably not going to go with it because Vince is going to do everything in his power not to make it happen. And with John Cena, it could happen, but I've also heard rumors that they didn't pull the trigger with the whole Undertaker thing with Cena because WWE felt that it's too predictable, that everybody expected it coming and they want it to happen when nobody expects it coming. If they still have those plans in the works for Cena and Taker, the only guy that I see winning is Roman Reigns, and we're going to have to go through the same repetitive bullshit in Philadelphia again with Roman Reigns winning. That's who I see winning this match.
Well, unfortunately, that's what we're stuck with, right?
Is this, so your main, who's your main pick? Is it Roman or is it Cena? Cause it sounds like you kinda tossed Nakamura, you know, a little bit out of the mix. Like you said, you wanted him to win, but your heart's not telling you that.
No, my heart's telling me Nakamura. My mind, my logic is telling me Cena or Reigns. I don't know, man. I really don't know. Like, thank God I don't have any money riding on this, cause I probably would be broke as fuck.
But, yeah. Man,
Of course I want Nakamura to win because I want it to be Nakamura versus Styles, but I honestly don't think that's what we're gonna get.
Yeah.
I don't think that's what we're gonna get because, of course, Vince has his way of doing things and it's not what you want, it's what I want. And what he wants is for Reigns to win the Universal Championship. That's the one title that's eluded him. Because this motherfucker is already a Grand Slam champ. He's won every fucking title that they have, except the NXT. But, you know, that doesn't count on the main roster.
Yeah.
But he's a former US champ. He's a former IC champ. He's a former tag champ. He's a former world champ. Only thing that's missing now is Universal. And unfortunately, that's what I think is going to happen. But I don't think WWE is stupid enough to make that same mistake twice in the same arena.
You know what? Part of me said that too, that I don't think WWE is stupid enough, but that's like we touched on earlier, that Vince McMahon has stood by his decision this long. And I kind of think the Royal Rumble is going to be a big middle finger to everybody. Like Vince is going to say, here you go. I really am sticking with it. All of you can go fuck yourselves.
Yeah, but again, just because you win the Rumble doesn't mean you're main eventing. Because last year, Orton won it, and his match wasn't the last match.
That's true.
His match was the third to last match. I mean, it was the SmackDown World Championship, then the Universal Championship, and then the Undertaker match with Reigns. So, again, just because you win the Rumble doesn't mean you're main eventing, which is absolutely fucked up. And that's like sticking a middle finger to all the fucking guys in the back. Oh. It doesn't matter who you are. You're going to go where we say you go on the position that we tell you you're going to be in. As opposed to, listen, these are the rules. This is how it's been since day one. This is how we're going to keep it.
Yeah.
But even if Reigns doesn't win the Rumble, I still see him earning a spot in the main event. Because somehow, some way down the line, they'll have a storyline of, like, say, for example, somebody from Raw wins it. They'll have him put his Mania main event on the line against Reigns, and then Reigns would beat him. They could do that.
Yeah. And have
Reigns inserted into the main event.
Yeah, they could have an Elimination Chamber match with like six guys and have Roman run through them all.
There's various ways that they can book this to still have Roman come out on top, even if he doesn't win the Rumble.
Because we know either way, Roman's going against Lesnar, and that will be the main event show closing match. We know it's coming. unless they have Cena. Yeah, Cena and Taker would be the only match that would go over that. That's going to be the only thing to kick this match out of the main event. That's it.
But the thing is that on Raw this past Monday, Taker gave no signs of that.
Yep.
Taker gave a very vague message. He didn't tell us that he was retiring. He didn't tell us who his next opponent was going to be. He didn't give us any indication of, hey, is he done? Is he not done? Even though when he came out, he didn't have the leather trench, he didn't have the hat, and he didn't have the gloves, which all points to last year when he left his gloves, his hat, and his coat inside the ring. So, you know, there's that. But I don't know, man. I'm really torn on who's going to win this.
Lisa put a good thing in the chat here. First off, Jario Galvez puts hello. He says, I hated the women's match. I'm taking the women's match on TakeOver. Surprisingly, I liked it. I thought they told a decent story, but we'll see what goes further with it. And Jario adds, I think Taker may give a message this Sunday at the Rumble. Cause he stated that people have already spotted Taker in Philly. So that's breaking news right here, I guess. Jario Galvez, a subscriber of the channel, he probably heard it on social media, possibly, maybe the dirt sheets, but he heard that people have already spotted Taker in Philly. So, if that's true, maybe Taker will have an appearance in some way. And Lisa put the best message here. She's like, I'll simplify it. Vince has a hard cock for Roman. Well, it's like I already said, Roman's job, and this is basically rated R talk, but I'm going to tell you like it is. Roman's job consists of this. When he shows up for work every Monday, the first thing he has to do is probably report to Vince's office. And Vince is sitting there at his desk, and he's like, all right, Roman, do your Superman punching. And Vince just sits there and pleasures himself. And when Vince finishes, he tells Roman, all right, you're on your way. Go. Like, that's Roman's probably first assignment when he shows up for work every time. And then when Vince goes home at night, he probably makes Linda dress up with the Roman Reigns vest, you know, the cargo pants, the boots, probably bought her a black wig and a nice, you know, black goatee to put on. And she role plays as Roman for Vince. And Vince is like, well, you know, honey, this is what I really want. This is what keeps me excited. You know, we got to spice it up in our love life. I want Roman. Be my Roman. Like, that's probably what Vince does on his downtime.
You have a very vivid imagination, you know, right?
Yup. I always have, bro.
God, bro. Now you burned that nasty image into my brain right now, bro.
And then when Vince is in gorilla position every time Roman wins, he probably has his pants around his ankles and he's like, oh yeah, ah! And you know, he's going to town on himself, and then he probably ends up looking like Stan Marsh's dad. Remember when they found him in front of his computer sitting there? He was covered in his own fucking jizz, you know, with his eyes like kind of rolled in the back of his head and like that pleasured smile. And he's just sitting there fucking covered. That's Vince in gorilla position when Roman wins. He hits the ultimate climax, you know, never mind the G1 climax. Vince hits his ultimate climax whenever Roman wins. That's why he's on Raw, because Roman always wins. You know, that's his show. So it's like, oh, yeah, Roman, let's go. Yeah. Ah! And there you go. Vince.
I wonder if he would to put Roman on SmackDown, if SmackDown would then be the flagship show.
It probably would be. Let's see, Jariel's asking if we can predict any returns for the Rumble. I say as far as returns go, Jariel, I'm going to say...
Samoa Joe?
Jojo may come back, I'm hoping, since he was sitting in the NXT pre-show panel tonight. I'm hoping that he's good to go and maybe he healed up quickly. Hopefully yep. he's like a surprise return and nobody's expecting it.
Yep.
As far as legends in the men's match, I really don't know who we could see. Because I haven't really heard anything of any legends being spotted, but as far as the women go, I think we're going to see Trish Stratus, Lita, Kelly Kelly.
No, you said there hasn't been any legends spotted. We spotted them on Monday Night Raw. What are you talking about?
No, I mean like in Philadelphia. I don't think any legends have been spotted in Philly except for Taker.
No, they're going to fly in tomorrow.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, it could be some of the legends we saw on Raw. You might get, I mean, we're not going to get Stone Cold Steve Austin. JBL. But JBL could be a part of it. Maybe Ron Simmons. Honestly, besides those two, I mean, I don't see Austin. NXT maybe, guys. Maybe some NXT guys. Like, I could see, you know, someone that might be like on their way out of NXT, possibly getting called up soon to be brought up into the Royal Rumble as a surprise entrant.
Roddy.
Roderick Strong would be a good one. I would like to see him in there. You know, maybe one of the New Age Outlaws end up coming in to the Royal Rumble. Who knows? I don't think we'll see Scott Hall or any guys like that, but it should be interesting. As far as overall ratings for NXT TakeOver Philly, what would you rate this show on a scale of 1 to 10, bro, before we head out of here?
I'd give it a solid 8. It was a good show, but I don't think it was a great show. I just think the main event was great. But the main event doesn't count for the rest of the matches.
I'll admit that I'm going to be overly generous. For some reason for me, I probably got sucked into the hype. I will admit that. Okay, I will admit it. I probably got sucked into the hype. I just found myself on the edge of my seat all night. I didn't think there was really a bad match. Just seeing Johnny in that main event spot, it was so special for me. And it gave me such a feeling that I really haven't felt in years, and I was never so invested in a match ever really in NXT's history, just because I have so much history myself with Mr. Johnny Gargano. I gotta give it a 10. I'm not gonna give it a 10 plus seal of approval, but I'll give it a 10 out of 10. I thought it was rather good. I mean, I could throw on the seal of approval. A match, you know, 10 plus seal of approval. Go check out the main event. It's a must see. You can't miss that main event, but I thought every match was definitely solid. I guess I will go 10 plus seal of approval. I just, for some reason, I think I got sucked into the hype. I think, but you know, it just all works.
Every pay-per-view, you always get sucked in. You always let them lure you in. With their bright lights and their catchy phrases and shit.
Every NXT pay-per-view?
Yes. No, I'm talking about because every honestly, pay-per-view you do this.
Well, if it's a wrestler that I really enjoy, ends up getting some, like I think Clash of Champions, I think I rated that like a 6 or a 7. I don't remember the last main roster pay-per-view that I actually gave a straight up 10 to. Like main roster. Oh, WrestleMania, just because I was there, but in retrospect, that pay-per-view probably deserved a 5 or a 6, in all honesty. But just because I was there, man, that shit sucked me right in.
Well, I mean, of course, always when you're there live, it's a totally different experience than watching from home.
Oh yeah, it just grabs you, like all that hype, you know, that they have surrounding it. And then when you're in that crowd, it grabs you and it just fucking, it sucks you and it pulls you right in. It like puts that mask on you.
Well, for the main event, yes. The rest of the matches, they were decent matches, but not great or must see. The only must see was the main event. That's it.
Yeah, no, like none of them are really must see except for maybe Adam Cole and Aleister Black. That may have been one that you could go back and watch again, but as far as the tag title match, good, but you don't need to watch it again. Cassius Ohno and Velveteen Dream, good, but you don't need to watch it again. The women's match for me, I really liked it. I would go back and watch it again just so you guys could see what Ember Moon is all about and really how badass they made her look tonight. I've always been an Ember Moon guy. I've always really liked Ember Moon, but honestly, I thought she was going to lose tonight because I figured they were going to have her come up and be an entrant in the Women's Royal Rumble. I figured they were going to have her lose to Shayna Baszler, have her be an entrant in the Women's Rumble, and put her up to the main roster. I figured that they were going to, you know, move it on to Shayna and, you know, move Ember Moon up. But that didn't happen.
For that?
It could be too soon, but the whole thing is the reason why I think they can move her up now early is because she's been in NXT for a long time. You know, she really has. She's been down there. She won the title. I mean, once she does indeed lose it, there's really nowhere else for her to go in NXT but the main roster at this point. Like, whenever she loses the women's title and gets her rematch and loses again, I see her coming to the main roster. Because I don't see what else they can do with her, honestly, in NXT. I think she's pretty much ran through it all.
She had like 6 months with the
book. Yeah, she wanted a...
She got about 6 months already as NXT Women's Champ.
Oh, wait, Ember? No, actually, she's been champ for... She's been champ for about 2.5 months. She wanted to take over War Games. Because remember in August, 6 months ago, she fought Asuka, but she didn't beat her. Asuka relinquished the title, and then they had to have a tournament. And Ember Moon qualified, Kairi Sane qualified, Nikki Cross qualified, and I think Peyton Royce was the fourth.
So, been on the main roster for 6 months already?
Asuka, actually, her last match in NXT was in August, and they didn't bring her up to the main roster till the end of October at TLC, so Asuka's been on the main roster 3 months.
Okay, alright, yeah, that makes more sense.
Big Green Brand says, so happy with NXT TakeOver, tonight was great. Lisa says, I can't rate it a 10, because... Well, I know Lisa, she's big on Johnny Gargano. She says she can't stand Almas.
Lisa's
I'm sure.
Baby faces, man.
Which, you know, I gotta say, I'm with her on the fact that I wanted Johnny all the way. I really did, but hey, hopefully he this time in the sun, I mean, Johnny really is just an incredible, incredible guy. And I know he probably won't hear this or see this. I wish that he would, but I'll be supporting him, man, throughout his whole run. I have followed this man's whole entire career from when he had his first indie match to his last indie match. And every match now in NXT, like, he's really the only wrestler I could say that with, man. In all honesty, Johnny Gargano is the only wrestler where I've seen every bit of his work throughout the indies, throughout when he was, you know, in Dragon Gate USA. I mean, I saw it all, and I think he was also the longest reigning Dragon Gate USA world champion of, like, 500 days or 480 some days. I think he had a real long title run in Dragon Gate.
Wow.
I mean, this guy is definitely no pushover. Big Green Brand says EC3 will be the next champion. Mark my words. I hope, I really hope that, he is, especially since he does the intro of the show.
I hope he's absolutely wrong. I want Ricochet to be the, no, I'm lying. I want Adam Cole to have a lengthy run, and I want Ricochet to be the one to beat Adam Cole. That's what I want.
Man, those are two good guys. I love Adam Cole just because I want him to go to the main roster with Undisputed. I know it's a long fucking way off, but my God, once those three get, can you imagine the Shield feuding with the Undisputed Era? Oh.
No, because the Shield reunion was an absolute failure, so I don't want to see the Shield anymore.
That's true. The Shield was fucking... See, they should have kept them off. They should have never reunited them. They just reunited them for the sake of reuniting them, and they basically ruined everything with them. Everything. They ruined the aura. They ruined the importance. And for what? Just so Roman Reigns could get over. Huh?
Roman's always good.
Yep. Let's see. Jario Galvez says, is it just me, or does Tommaso Ciampa look like he's going for a Jay Briscoe look? Absolutely. I agree. He also asked, do you think Aleister Black is going for the NXT or the UK belt? He's going for the NXT belt. No doubt. And Big Green Brand says, T, I have a question. What's your question, man? And then we'll wrap this up, and then we'll move on to the Royal Rumble tomorrow night, which, I'm excited for. How's, Capital P?
I haven't heard from him, man. I haven't seen him in a couple months. I've been trying to get a hold of him, but I don't know what's up with him. I'll see if I could go visit him tomorrow, though.
He's out of the hospital, right?
Yeah, no, he's not in the hospital.
Alright, good. Cause I remember he was in, what was it, like almost a couple months ago or a month and a half ago he was in?
Yeah, yeah, that's when I went to go see him.
Yeah, I hope that everything's okay with him. Are you watching the Rumble?
Tomorrow, I don't know what my plans are, but I'm definitely gonna make it a point to watch it.
Yeah, I'm definitely, man. I'm gonna be watching it. I'm gonna be kicking back some beers and enjoying myself. I mean, if you want to come on and join me for the review, I'm gonna be going live actually right after. Actually, have the stream set for that one. I'm gonna go live between 11:15 and 11:30. Cause the Royal Rumble should go off the air at 11. And then, you know, get in here. I'm gonna try to shoot for 11:15, make it as quick as possible. So, I mean, if you wanna jump on, if you watch it, let me know.
Yeah, most definitely, bro.
And, Big Green Brand is asking, who do you think will be in the Rumble from NXT or Big Returns in general? We actually, just went over that a little bit ago before you came in. I mean, from NXT, could be someone like Cassius Ohno. I don't think it's going to be any real...
Pete Dunne.
Could be in there. I actually, Pete Dunne, I could see him going, maybe Tyler Bate even as well. As far as legends, maybe JBL, Ron Simmons, guys like that. I don't see anybody really huge. Maybe you get like Road Dogg or Billy Gunn, X-Pac, I don't know. I mean, he could still lay down an X-Factor, but as far as like, you know, Razor Ramon or guys like that, I don't think you're going to see any of them in this Rumble match. But, it's going to be interesting, man. I can't wait to sit down and just have some beers, watch the Rumble with my family. I mean, you know, I wish I could have went to my buddy's house, but you know what? It'll be a good thing. Like, my dad and I haven't watched the Rumble together, I think, in, I'm trying to think the last one we watched. I can't remember if maybe like 2014. I know I was at the Rumble. 2015. Might have been, we might have watched it in 2015 at my house with my dad and my buddy. 2016, actually. I think, might have been here in 2017, might have been here, but that was with my buddy here. I know that. So like, as far as watching it with my family, it's going to be nice. But, Big Green Brand is asking, could we see Batista realistically returning in the Rumble? He's been rumored for months now. I don't. I personally don't see Batista coming in at all. I mean, I don't think Batista's going to come in, just for, you know, a spot in the Rumble, and because there's no way he's going to win. So I don't think he's going to come in, you know, just for a pop and get tossed out and stuff like that. The only way I see Batista coming back is if he gets a program with Triple H for a retirement match at a WrestleMania. That's the only way I ever see Batista coming back, to be honest.
Yeah, I agree. I don't see Batista coming back. That man has a pretty good career going on right now with his acting gig. This man is making Marvel movies and with the Guardians of the Galaxy and Infinity Wars coming up, and you know damn well he's gonna be in that. Like, this man is doing good. He doesn't need to come back to wrestling.
And Big Green Brand is saying I have Shinsuke winning it. Someone from SmackDown will, I think. I was going with Shinsuke until the rumors of Vince McMahon not wanting Shinsuke to win the Rumble came out. Once those came out, I'm like, I don't think it's going to happen. And then number two, you got to look at it this way. This is another reason, Sage, I forgot to bring up to you why I don't think Shinsuke's winning either at all, is because they announced the Fastlane main event for March 11th in Columbus, Ohio. I wish I was going, but, you know, he's been going through some stuff and we're not able to make it. I wish I could have went, but the main event's already been made, and it's a fatal five-way match for the WWE title. It's supposed to be AJ Styles defending the title against AJ Styles going up against Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn, Randy Orton, and Shinsuke Nakamura in a fatal five-way. So if that's going to be the main event at Fastlane, why in the world would you have the Rumble winner facing for a title at Fastlane? That's why I think nobody from SmackDown's winning, to be honest with you. I think they're actually stupid enough to go Roman Reigns again. And Big Green Brand is bringing up the rumors with Daniel Bryan going around. I don't think Daniel Bryan's going to return in the Rumble. I think if he gets cleared, they're going to do it on the build to WrestleMania, to where something happens and he just ends up getting cleared. Everybody goes nuts. But who does he face? Will Daniel Bryan face Shane McMahon? Could Daniel Bryan face AJ Styles? Now, if they're planning an AJ Styles-Daniel Bryan match because they're teasing tension there, that would be the only way that Bryan would return in the Rumble and win it, if they're really going to go with him and Styles. But only WWE knows at this point what they're actually going to do. I mean, they're keeping this quiet, as they should, because nobody should know if Daniel Bryan's actually cleared. It should be a surprise. So they're going the right route on that, but with just this impending doom of Roman Reigns, I just really see them going with Roman Reigns. We're going to be pissed off at the end of the night. I'm going to come on here and rip apart the whole Royal Rumble, and we're going to tell Vince, hopefully he's happy, you know, sitting in the back, you know, fucking pleasuring himself to Roman Reigns, and, you know, hope he's real happy with himself now. He also says, Big Green Brand says the main event of WrestleMania is set to, because it was leaked about Elimination Chamber having a six-man with winner facing Brock. Oh. Did you hear about that? I haven't heard about that yet.
About what?
About, it's been leaked about the Elimination Chamber having a six-man Elimination Chamber with the winner facing Brock Lesnar. at Elimination Chamber. I mean, if that's the case, then I see Cena winning it because he's a free agent and he can go to any show. So say if he goes to SmackDown, then that leaves Raw's Elimination Chamber open. I mean, there's so many things that could happen. We're just gonna have to wait it out and see what they do. But I will be here with the Royal Rumble review right after the show. So if you want any of your Royal Rumble coverage and straight up talk told you the way that it should be with me, make sure you join in tomorrow night. And Lisa also said, I want to plug this Jesse Neal interview one more time. She has something in the chat back here where she does say, she adds about that interview. She says, let me see. She says, to all the fans, you know, that are a part of this channel, she says, trust me, even though it's a 3.5-hour interview, it goes fast. Being Jesse keeps you on your toes. He is one hell of a speaker. I watched it in full and didn't even realize that the 3.5 hours passed. Great interview and it goes fast. So I hope that you guys go and check that out. That was some great stuff. And honestly, a very controversial interview. And I know how people in the wrestling world loves controversy. So it's like Jesse, Neil, and I said on the interview, like Eric Bischoff said, controversy creates cash. We brought that to the interview, and we hit a home run with it. So I hope you guys listen to that. Big Green Brand ad that Cena is supposed to be taking on Taker at Mania this year. I really don't know what they're doing, especially with Taker's angle at Raw 25, not really hinting to anything. They're still saying that the match could happen, but I really don't know. I mean, this is all up in the air. You know, it could happen where Roman wins the Rumble and he's got to put up his title shot in the Elimination Chamber. Maybe that's how the news got leaked. Have a six-man winner goes on to face Brock. But think about it. Roman could be the Rumble winner going in there defending his Royal Rumble win, and the winner of that six-man goes on to face Brock. They could do it that way. I mean, either way, I hope I'm wrong, but my gut is just saying Roman Reigns is winning no matter what. So,
see what happens tomorrow night.
Yep. Big Green Brand is just like us, man. He says, I just want Shinsuke versus AJ at Mania. I do too. Sage does as well. We all do. But it's all up to Vince McMahon. It's all up to Vince McMahon. And he says, that's all I've wanted for so long. Dolph Ziggler versus AJ Styles. Ziggler wins. I heard Ziggler, he could possibly make a return and win. I mean, I'd love to see Ziggler get pushed. I mean, that would be an ultimate surprise. I'd go with Ziggler to win over Roman for sure. I love Ziggler. Thank you.
Yeah, Ziggler most likely make his re-debut.
That would be nice. But thanks, Eric Torres, for the comment. If you're not subscribed yet, please hit that subscribe button as I'll have your full Royal Rumble review coverage tomorrow. Lisa adds, and this is my favorite comment of the night, she adds, Roman sucks dick. But.
Doesn't get any more black and white than that.
Yeah. Think about this. Big Green Brand brings up a good point. You know how Ziggler's been doing these mock entrances, you know, where he'll come out with other wrestlers' music and do an entrance? Big Green Brand says, what if Ziggler returns with CM Punk's entrance?
Nah, they're not going to use that.
I don't think they'd go that far, but man, people would just hate Ziggler right off the bat. You know, like that would just get the most heat on him. Like everybody be like, oh, Punk is back. And then they'd see Ziggler. They'd be like, oh no. But yeah, no, I really don't think that's going to happen either. But,
no, I don't see it happening at all.
You got any last words, bro?
Remember the Rumble.
Yep. Man, last year we wanted to forget the Rumble in some ways, and hopefully this year we will want to remember it, but who knows? Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for joining in on the show tonight. I really appreciate it. I had a great time with you guys. This has been your NXT TakeOver Philadelphia review and results for episode number 89, Beyond the Ring with Big T Wrestling Podcast for Saturday night, January 27, 2018. And, we will, be back for the Royal Rumble review tomorrow night after the Rumble. And Big Green Brand says, I want Jeff Hardy to become Brother Nero again, LOL. That would be great. And he says, Finn Balor wins Rumble, my last words. And Lisa says, good night, you are the best. Good night, Lisa, thank you. Also using hashtag justice for pretty. Thank you so much, Lisa, for doing that. I appreciate it. And good night to you. I love you, Lisa, and all the fans. I love you guys as well. And thank you, Sage, for coming on. And
no problem, my brother.
Hope to be back tomorrow for the Royal Rumble review. I can't wait to review for you guys. So you all have a great night. You take care. I love you all. And we'll see you next time. And yes, there will be a next time. And that's the Royal Rumble review results. For Sage, I'm your host, Big T. And I will see you at the matches. Good night, everybody.